"What are you doing here?" At first, I didn't realize anyone was talking to me, but then someone's knee bumped roughly into my side. "Hey, spy, I'm talking to you." I looked up, Will Henry. He was wearing a black t-shirt and a pair of jeans that bulged a bit around the thigh where I guessed a bandage was. He was with his three friends, the two sluggy twins and a zit-covered mountain of a redhead. I said, "What are you doing here?" Somehow, Will's eyes glittered but were utterly blank at the same time. My hand fell beneath my coat and closed around the handle of my knife. When I didn't say anything, Will snatched the notebook out of my hands and held it up to Jackson. "You give him this, Greeny? You and your folks? How many of these do you think we have left? And you give one to some spy?" Will planted his fists on my desk and leaned over me. "These things are for us," he said. "Not you." "Leave him alone, Will." I turned and was surprised to see that Jackson was up out of his seat. Derek and Martin rose tentatively to join him. "What are you going to do?" Will continued, leaning toward him. Even though he was a whole row of desks away, Jackson took one nervous step back, which clearly delighted Will. "You and your folks gonna save this stray, too? What? Was the first one not pathetic enough for you?" Every part of me tense, desperate to shoot up out of my chair and knock Will into the wall behind him. I struggled to stay calm even as he leaned over me, his face inches from mine. "How about you, spy? You gonna do something?" My cheeks burned, and the wounds on my hand throbbed as I gripped the rough leather of the knife's hilt. The doors at the back of the classroom flew open and slammed against the wall. "Class, settle down! Settle down, everyone!" the teacher called as he rushed in past us to the front of the room. "Mr. Henry, take your friends and sit." "Mr. Tuttle," Will began, pointing at me. "No time, Mr. Henry," Tuttle said, distracted with the papers at his desk. "Sit or find yourself in detention." Will glanced at Tuttle. "You're lucky, spy," he said as he tossed the notebook over his shoulder to one of his friends. "Come on, guys. Kid's stinking up this side of the room anyway." The redhead gave me a vacant, moist-eyed glare while one of the slug twins nudged my desk so my pencils fell to the ground with a clatter. I waited until they were back at their seats before bending to pick them up, but when I did, Jackson was already holding them out to me. "Here you go." "Thanks." I turned away from him and rearranged my things. It was odd how Jackson and the others had stood up for me the way they had. Getting backed up like that by people who weren't family didn't make any sense. It felt good, but I couldn't afford to be careless. Nobody did anything for free. Now I will read the second section. "Caleb told us they were mercenaries," Marcus said, looking down into his tea. "Ex-soldiers. I don't know where he found them. He said they'd run the people at Fort Leonard off so they wouldn't come back. That's all. He said no one would get hurt." "What are you supposed to do for them?" Jenny asked. "They want to expand west. Caleb said we'd be like a way station. Nothing more. They'd store fuel here, food. He didn't tell us they were slavers, I swear." "When does it happen?" "Tonight, sundown. We're supposed to meet them at the gates, and then we all go together." "We have to talk to Caleb," Violet said. "Now." Marcus looked up at her. "And say what? You don't think Caleb and his friends know what these people are already?" "Then we can talk to everyone else. Sam, Tuttle, we'll have a vote." "You think if we have a vote and we actually win, they'll just leave?" We all sat there, still as statues as it sunk in. Slavers were no different from starving animals. Deny them Fort Leonard and they'd eat Settlers Landing just as happily. "Then what?" Violet asked. Marcus turned to face the swirl of white outside. It was mounting steadily on the porch and bending the trees until their branches hung down miserably, nearly ready to snap. "We did well this year, but you know the winters as well as I do, Vi. We'll lose at least 10 people from the cold and lack of food alone. If we have to deal with Fort Leonard picking away at us, too, we could be done for. Our home, all of us, gone." "What are you saying? We let this happen? Marcus." "I'm saying we don't have a choice, Vi." "We do," Violet said. "We have a choice about what we become, Marcus. Maybe it's the only thing we do have a choice about." "Do you want to be out there again? Us and not them? Is that what you want?" "How many times have we come close to doing the right thing?" Violet asked, and then stopped because we were afraid. "This, Sean and Mary Krychek, Violet, that girl of theirs, just 9 years old. We did the best we could for them. We stood up for them for an hour before giving them an old blanket and a day's worth of bread and sending them on their way, because we were afraid. Violet was red with anger and shame, leaning up out of her chair, her nails digging into the table. Marcus had no answer for her. The wind howled, and the snow mixed with hail that sounded sharp and metallic, like fingers tapping on a tin roof.